Hello everyone, my name is Glenn Grew. Welcome to part two of blogging. The title today is Blogging is Lifelong Learning, and I'm going to be going over a number of things about blogging. And when we use blogging for instruction, we need to start off with a series of assumptions. I'd like to start off by saying that the individual learner requires sustained, long-term support in learning how to learn, learning how to blog. Blogging should be more integrated into social networking tools, not separate from them. I want to emphasize this, that blogging is not a separate tool from the other social networking tools. It is integrated into them, central to it. I also want to emphasize that blogging is voluntary, expressive, and iterative. That is, you are allowed to choose what you want to reveal or not to reveal. You're allowed to express yourself in the way you see fit. However, you need to recognize that based on feedback, you should in fact go back over and over again and draft your ideas and build on them. Blogging implies personal commitment, ownership, and responsibility. This is what's unique about blogging, more than forums or other types of tools. Blogging implies this commitment to self-regulated learning, lifelong learning. It also implies ownership. You have to take control of your blog posts. You have to own them. That means that you have an opportunity to make use of them and reuse them years and years down the road. So if you're going to take more ownership for something, then it's going to change the way you post. It'll change the way you use them and potentially reuse them. Your intentions might change. Also, you're responsible for helping others as well as helping yourself. The other thing that's important as an assumption about blogging is that blogging skills enable participation within multiple contexts from multiple perspectives. What I mean by that is that participants need to feel comfortable moving swiftly and comfortably between different learning environments and different perspectives. So what are these contexts? What are these perspectives? Let me start off with blogging contexts. First of all, there's the LMS, the learning management system, such as Moodle or Desire to Learn. The second thing is flexible delivery, otherwise known as blended learning, in which learners are supported by an instructor who is working in a blog, and they in turn blog because they're doing it in conjunction with face-to-face instruction. This is really important from the perspective of literacy learners, because I find that a combination of both face-to-face and online instruction are, I would find it the best option for many, many, many learners who are interested in remote learning, who could not otherwise get the opportunity to come in and participate full-time in class. The next thing is what I call embedded personal learning networks or formal practice networks. An example would be the AU Landing. And in that particular case, you have cohorts, you have seminars, you have blogging circles, you have a number of activities going on, a number of groups that are putting on their own courses and their own ideas. Some of them are open, some of them are closed. So it's interesting to see that you have a number of different organizations, groups, and types of learning going on within a formal practice network. And you can participate in all of them depending on your membership. Then there's the professional learning communities, and in this case it could be a Ning network, it could be WizIQ, it could be LinkedIn, it could be many different options. BC Literacy Forum is just one example. Scope, CEET, is another one. There are many. And then finally, blogging within a context of a MOOC, a massive open online course. I call these extended PLNs because they're outside any particular institution. You're working to independently learn based on resources available to you provided by your peers, by others. So it's a less formal approach, but it's rather wide open. And the best option for that type of blogging environment would be WordPress or some kind of blogging application. So, you know, we have a number of different formal online blogging contexts, and the other thing is the lifelong learning perspectives shift the way you're going to actually interact with people. We start off with the private. Private perspective is one in which a learner is interested in doing their own thing for themselves and not really interested in sharing, revealing, or discussing their own personal experience. The autonomous learner is, or blogger, is more interested in doing their own thing. They don't really mind sharing some of the ideas with others, but of course they're going to shift back to private when it comes to very personal, confidential information. The anonymous blogger is a person who would not necessarily want to be interacting with individuals if everyone knew who that person was. And you might say, well, why would that be the case? Let me give an example. You're a very creative person and you would like to explore a creative project and get ideas out, just put them out there and see what people think without being tied to the fact that, oh, this is me. And it's interesting that you actually have a number of writing circles that are anonymous, because, or therapeutic circles, or confessional circles, self-help groups. These particular groups are interested in blogging anonymously because they don't really want to share their personal identities. They just want to share their personal experience. The embedded learner, on the other hand, is the type of blogger that is interested in engaging with others. They want to share their experiences, they want to reveal that information, and they want to engage others. They're demotivated by a lack of interaction with others. The network blogger is a pragmatic blogger. They're more interested in skills building to get the word out, to learn how to be a better networker, to build their set of contacts. They're very pragmatic. Then there's the personal blogger, and the personal blogger is the one who can shift between different perspectives rather rapidly and comfortably. They're the kinds of individuals who will have a number of different blogs going on at any one time on a number of different platforms, on a number of different topics, and they'll be working within a number of different communities at the same time, shifting back and forth. So, as a lifelong learner, personal blogging is taking into account that edublogging or formal blogging is only a tiny fraction of what is actually going on. So you would be applying the skills from a practice network, formal practice network, into your own personal life, and not just using it for work purposes. The lifelong blogging paradigms are, I would consider them instructivist, constructivist, transformative, and connectivist. The instructivist type of paradigm is the class blog. They're working within a cohort. It's teacher-evaluated, teacher-moderated. The teacher is the filter. There's exercises and assignments that students create and do. They don't control or own their own posts. It's mainly focused on adjusting to the rules of the class blog and to the instructor. And there's a focus on skills building. The second paradigm has to do with cooperative blogging within a seminar. It is constructivist, and it's mainly focused on activities such as building peer blogging. It's involved with private journaling, mentoring with the instructor, with other peers, dialoguing with others, and coordinating your efforts between private blogs, group blogs, peer blogs, instructor blogs. So you're actually working with a number of different blogs at the same time. The next paradigm is the transformative paradigm. It's a collaborative blog, and I would call it the blogging circle. That is, depending on how you use it, you might be using it for building up a series of skills to engage in better performance. So you're reflecting on practice. You're learning and you're unlearning. So that's one element. There is storytelling, in which you engage in transformative learning perspective. I call it storytelling, learning about how others work within different cultures, different settings, etc. Things such as critical incidents, things such as intercultural communication and sharing, play building, in which people engage each other and collaborate on a project, and engaging in buddy blogs, all involve collaborative blogging. Finally, we have the connectivist paradigm. It's for autonomous bloggers. They're very much interested in working within a practice network. It involves the independent use of blogs for building and extending your personal learning network outside of any formal institutions, engaging and participating others within massive open online courses, and in general, it's shifting perspectives and goals of the lifelong blogger. So we have different blogging paradigms going on here, and of course, we have different needs for each. So the lifelong blogger is interested in a number of things, so there are questions to be asked, and these are questions I'll ask you. How will I, or how do I, prefer to participate as a learner in various contexts? What skills are going to be needed to manage my learning? What roles will I require practice and honing with? What communities will I become more active in? Which skills, resources, and experts do I want to develop further as a lifelong learner, now and in the future? How do I become more self-regulated as a lifelong learner? How do I measure my own knowledge building? These are critical questions to become more independent as a learner and moving away from a reliance on others. So what is knowledge building? Berry picking, piling, weaving, texturing, path finding, path making, sense making, path sharing, sense giving. What is all this about? It's about how we actually get on the internet, connect with others, but more importantly, how we find the information we need, how we express ourselves, how we engage in connective writing and express it. Berry picking involves activities that involve identifying, evaluating, and selecting resources, collecting ideas, links and references, creating annotated bookmarks, and adding annotated bookmarks to profiles. So we're looking at this exploratory stage. Piling involve activities that detail one's own decisions within blog posts or other areas, other types of content, decisions that involve classifying posts. Not just posts, but other resources as well. Categorizing them, tagging them, using of keywords, and then explanations and elaborations for reasons for culling and revising, explorations of impressions of how others have managed piling strategies, such as the use of tag clouds, and categories and so on, blog roles, etc. So that's another thing in dealing with piling. Jigging involves activities that describe your own personal strategies and experiences while tapping into various data streams. Twitter feeds, network wire feeds, network activity streams, and use of email alerts and RSS feeds. Rather elaborate, and is becoming a more and more important element as we go on. Weaving. These involve blogging activities that demonstrate summarizing, embedding of links, adding quotes, citing sources, drawing information from others' posts, from articles, from websites, from podcasts, from slideshows, whatever, other multimedia resources, as well as from your own work. Texturing is important. It adds layering. It adds additional detail to your post. Once you finish your post, you can go back and revise again. So what, in fact, are you doing when you go back and revise? Texturing then involves posting descriptions, explanations, impressions that explain strategies for tracking switches of one's own narrative tone, voice, and register. Posts that engage and address multiple audiences. You know, what are you writing this for? Maybe I could use this for this. Maybe I could use that for that. Provide contextual clues and cues such as highlighting, font change, color coding, meta commenting, layering. Layering involves multiple revisions, comments interspersed with updated links and content. So you're going back and you're doing iterations and you're actually capturing the process as you go along. You annotate, you add, you revise, and you keep all the rough notes on that blog post. And after a while, it builds on itself. It becomes a very important document that captures the process of learning. Pathfinding are activities that describe how you're going around looking for and evaluating and identifying and selecting different tools, experts, and resources. It could involve hit-miss experiences, and that's what I mean by pathfinding. On the other hand, path-making are activities that describe different strategies in terms of what works, what's most promising, what doesn't work, in terms of what you're going to be using for search and collection routines. So these are best practices. Routines for using search tools and portals, as well as posts that review others' strategies that describe their own path-making activities. An example, I mean, there are many examples, but you know, by identifying path-making as a strategy, by saying, I'm going to write a path-making blog post, you're actually drawing the information automatically from others' posts. So it's almost as if by conceptualizing of path-making and path-finding and path-sharing, you're actually developing this process as you go along in more detail. So path-sharing, the next one is path-sharing. And path-sharing involves, let me just get that, it involves activities that are intended to inform and share your best practices with others. It involves sharing experiences of how you have and how they have learned within the network, and how they've mentored others on skills and knowledge required for pathfinding and pathmaking. So you're in fact sharing how you have actually found things yourself. So these are some examples then of how to use blogs for instruction using knowledge building. Thank you very much for listening.